My heart's over here racing 100 miles an hour. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to go and get into my message here in just a second. I kind of gave Pastor a verse of scripture that when I get into my message, you may wonder how in the world we started where we started, but I hope I can explain that to you. Before we do, I do want to say a couple things. One, Matt, sure was good to hear you up here in the orchestra playing that trumpet. Amen. You just keep praying about when you're going to come back and play it permanently. I'm not putting any pressure. I'm just saying pray. But it was good to have you in the orchestra and hear you play that trumpet. And then, as Pastor said, Miss Lamb, it's good to see you. I was sitting there. Some of you may not know who Miss Lamb is. Some of you do, but some of you don't. But her husband, Pastor Lamb, is I'm trying to think of the right word. He was a legend in Greene County. He's been around my whole life. And I was just sitting up here thinking, Pastor, and this would go for all of us. I got saved at, I was getting ready to be 25 years old when I got saved by the grace of God. But you know, when I was a little boy, I'm talking 6, 7, 8 years old, I remember Miss Lamb and Pastor Lamb taking me on a bus and taking me to a trailer over across from the school. Back then, you could actually do that. They may do it a little bit now, but they used to come pick our entire class up. Nobody opted out of it back in those days. The entire class would go, and we'd go to Bible class, and Pastor Lamb and Miss Lamb would do flannel graphs, and they would teach us Bible stories. I remember the first, I don't know why I remember this, but the first little New Testament I got was from Pastor Miss Lamb for memorizing some Bible verses at Bible club at school. And I didn't go to Sunday school as a kid, didn't go to church. The only church I got was at a public school where Pastor and Miss Lamb would come pick us up and take us and do Bible classes with CBM. And I just thought, Pastor, you know, it's hard to say. I might get to heaven one day. And the seeds that were planted when I was a little child. Amen. It's hard to say how many seeds you and Pastor Lamb planted in Greene County through the years, through that ministry. Amen. And it's hard to tell. Pastor Lamb knows now. His face becomes sight. But one day you'll get to see the fruit of all that labor and in the lives of children that became adults in God's word. Didn't return void. And so I appreciate you, Miss Lamb. You and Pastor Lamb were a blessing to me. Amen. As a child and even as an adult here. I'm glad you're here tonight. So Luke chapter number 2, it kind of goes along with what I want to preach on tonight. I was thinking, and I told Pastor a couple weeks ago, I said last Sunday night that I felt like it was time for me to move on from the book of 1 Peter. And I was telling Pastor in a conversation that I felt like God wanted me to preach a series of messages through the month of December. We were talking about what was going on with our Christmas revival. I asked him, would I be preaching in December? And he said, yes. And so I told him that I felt like God wanted me to preach a series of messages about being in the spirit or the Christmas spirit. And that's kind of funny coming from me because my family says that I'm a Scrooge when it comes to Christmas. But I'm just not for all the commercialization of Christmas. But I'm getting better. We put up Christmas lights this year outside. That's right. Thank you. Yep. My wife said 15 years of marriage, and she finally got Christmas. She sent a picture to her mom, said 15 years of marriage, and I finally got Christmas lights. It was me up on a ladder, and she said Lydia ought to help him or something like that. You ought to get Lydia to help him. About that time, Meredith sent her a picture back of Lydia up on a 16-foot ladder beside me. And so we got Christmas lights up, but I'm trying to get better, right? Trying to enjoy the season. But as I thought about that, I thought about a couple of messages I wanted to preach on the Christmas spirit. And honestly, when I was preparing those messages, the message I'm going to preach tonight was not one of the thoughts that God gave me. But as I began to meditate and think, and then I realized that this Sunday night would be a night in which we would partake in the Lord's table, God put a message on my heart, and I want to share it with you tonight. The reason I had Pastor to read in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 18 and 19, the Bible says this, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And that word wondered means they were just amazed. They were taken back. They were just in awe at the things in which the shepherds said. But verse 19 says this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I want to talk to you tonight about a spirit of pondering, or you could call it a pondering spirit. You say, what does that mean, Brother David? Well, the word ponder It means to weigh out. It means to consider. It means to just think upon. So the Bible says that the shepherds came and they told Mary this news. And the Bible says Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. She began to think about them. She began to consider them. She began to weigh them out. And as I think about Christmas and as I think about this time of year and this season in which we're in, I think this is a season where many of us ponder. We began to reflect. We began to think back. I don't know what it is about Christmas, and maybe I'm alone here tonight. I hope I'm not, but there's just something about Christmas. It's something about the smells of Christmas. It's something about the meals around Christmas, maybe even in your home, a movie or something that you watch every Christmas. My family is dreading the fact, I shouldn't say dreading, but I make them watch It's a Wonderful Life every Christmas. I like the movie, and we don't watch it any other time, and so they know it's coming. But maybe there's just something in your home that makes you begin to reflect. It makes you begin to ponder. It makes you begin to think back. And even as we gathered for Thanksgiving, my wife and I were talking this past week with our children and just talking about how that when we gather, we think about, as a child and getting with family and how things have changed. And really, I don't think things have changed, just time plays its role and people pass on and people get married and things go on. But something about this season makes us begin to reflect and to ponder. I think it's a good thing. You know, throughout the Christmas story, Mary's not the only one that was pondering. You know about Joseph, right? When the angel came to Joseph and told him those things, the Bible says, while Joseph thought on these things, he thought about it. He pondered it. I think about Simeon. If you read, the Bible says that he was in the temple and he was waiting. He was waiting and thinking about the coming of the Messiah. He was just meditating upon it. And those shepherds, no doubt, as they were out in that field, they were pondering at what they heard. They wondered at what they saw. And I think about we talk about the wise men and how they must have meditated, how they must have pondered some of the things that were told to them all throughout the Christmas story, all throughout what we would call the story of Christmas in the Bible. We find people pondering. We find people thinking. And so tonight, I just want to try to encourage us this Christmas to have a spirit of pondering, or a pondering spirit, to think a little bit, to reflect a little bit, to intentionally focus our mind on some things. Now tonight, I want to just focus our mind on one thing, because we're going to take the Lord's table. And I want us to ponder tonight the cross. I want us to ponder the cross. I want us to think about Jesus and what he did for us at the cross. The last song that we sang a minute ago was talking about the cross. And then as they came and they sang, they were singing about the freedom that you found at the cross. And I was thinking about in my mind, as I knew I was going to be preaching this message, how sometimes the first thought I want to mention as we ponder the cross is this: the apathy. The apathy of the cross. You say, what is apathy, Brother David? Well, the word apathy means it's a lack of interest or enthusiasm or concern. You know, it's crazy if we really think about it sometimes how apathetic we are towards the cross. I was telling Pastor Brandon this past week, once I kind of settled that this is what I was going to preach on, a couple weeks ago, we were teaching a series in Sunday school, and I taught a lesson very similar to this to our young people, and I told Pastor Brandon it was one of the hardest lessons I've taught in this whole series. And I don't know if it's because of the spiritual warfare that goes on when we began to talk about the cross of Calvary, because of all that it means. I understand that we're fighting a spiritual battle, but I also just believe that we've gotten to a place in our churches, and I said we, okay? I'm not indicting anyone. I'm saying we, myself included, that we've almost gotten apathetic when it comes to the cross. We've heard it so many times. We know all the stories. Most of us could probably quote the seven sayings that Jesus said from the cross. We've memorized the story. We know the songs. We've become apathetic where there's no interest in the cross. And I don't want to be that way. And I know you don't want to be that way. And so I'm just coming tonight to try to remind us that this Christmas season, let's ponder the cross. Let's think about what Christ came for. He came as a Savior. When Mary pondered those things, you know what she was pondering? She was pondering that a Savior had been born. The Messiah, the one that had been promised for, was coming. And as he came, we know why he came. He came to die. And we're gonna commemorate that tonight. I believe that even the fact of what we're gonna read here in a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when we take the Lord's table, the fact that the Apostle Paul felt the need to say, well, actually the Lord Jesus, Paul just repeated Jesus. Jesus felt the need to say, as often as you do this, he said, you do show the Lord's death. He said, do this in remembrance of me. I believe it's on our table down here. Is that right? This do in remembrance of me. You say, why do we have to be reminded? Because if we're not careful, we'll become apathetic. If we're not careful, we will lose interest in the cross. We will lose our enthusiasm about the cross. We will become apathetic about the cross. And Jesus said, he said, this do in remembrance of me. And Paul said, you do show the Lord's death till he come. What we're going to do tonight is a picture of what Jesus did for us at the cross. The bread that we're going to take, the juice that we're going to drink, it is a picture of what Jesus did at the cross. And I'm just trying to encourage us tonight, don't become apathetic about the cross. God help me not to get to the place where I'm apathetic about the cross, where I think I've heard it all before. I know all the songs. I know all the stories. I know about the cross. But yet, if I'm not careful, I will not ponder. I will not think. I will not consider. I will not meditate upon. I will not give my attention to the cross. And so tonight, if I accomplish anything tonight, I hope that I can accomplish this. I want you to go home tonight when you leave this service at some point tonight or tomorrow or this week. I hope that God, the Holy Spirit, would move in your heart to the point where you would sit down and you would ponder the cross. And think about what happened there, what was done, what it means. So I see the apathy of the cross. Number two, I want us to see this, the agony of the cross. Go to Luke chapter 22. We talk about the apathy of the cross. I want to see the agony of the cross. As we take the bread and the juice tonight, that's a picture of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot forget the agony. Luke chapter number 22, look at verse 41. The Bible says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And verse 44 says this, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And as he sweat, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. You know, if we're not careful, again, I said, we'll just read over that like we have so many times before. I can't tell you the times that I've quoted that verse, Father, if thou be willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I can't tell you the times that I've quoted that passage of Scripture, but do I ever really ponder it? The agony that are in these verses of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse 44, and being in agony. You say, what is agony? I looked it up. It means extreme pain of body or mind. It is anguish. And the Bible says that Jesus was in agony. To the point that his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood. Some of you have heard messages much better than what I'm going to preach tonight, preached about the crucifixion and about Calvary and about all that went into it and about the suffering and the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't understand all these things, but they say that there is a medical term that where a person gets under so much stress, so much anguish, so much agony, that literally the vessels underneath of their skin began to burst, and it is as if they were sweating blood as it comes out. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was in great agony, and as we think about the cross, as we ponder the cross, as we take the Lord's table tonight, I want you to remember, I want you to ponder, I want you to think about the agony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the emotional agony in which the Lord Jesus was carrying. Can you imagine? I know this isn't, I tell you, I really like to preach fun, laughing, exciting messages. But man, I just know God wants me to preach this message. Maybe it's just for me. I don't know. Maybe I just need to be reminded of what he did for me. The agony. The emotion. He said, Lord, if you be willing, would you remove this cup from me? You see, I think sometimes if we're not careful, and my mind can't wrap around this, Pastor, I almost called you this afternoon because I thought I just need some insight. As I began to reflect and as I began to ponder, my mind can't quite comprehend the fact that Jesus Christ, 100% God, was also 100% man. And see, I think sometimes we get this thing in our mind, maybe we've watched too many superhero movies, or maybe we've just gotten this warped view of in our minds that because Jesus was who he was, it was like he just walked through this unfazed. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I can't wrap my mind around it, but I know what the Bible teaches. I know that the Bible teaches in Philippians 2:7 that he was made in the likeness of man. That he was in the form of God, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he got clothed in humanity. So that he could, as it says in Hebrews, I believe, I didn't write down the verse, but in Hebrews it talks about that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You see, he took on humanity. He took on flesh so that he would understand what it is to feel pain, to have agony, to know hurt, to weep at Lazarus's grave, to be tired out there on that ship. To be hungry, to hang on the cross and say, I thirst. I can't understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it. But God clothed himself in humanity and was made in the likeness of a man. And he came, and when he died an emotional death, the emotional agony. I tried to think of a way to explain it. And Pastor, I couldn't come up with nothing better. I shouldn't say nothing better, but the most recent situation that reminded me of it was Brother Michael. He's not here tonight. But I remember when Brother Michael was getting ready to have his heart surgery. I kept telling Meredith was worried. I shouldn't say worried. She's not. That's sin. She wasn't worried. She was concerned about her brother, right? No, she wasn't really worried, but she was concerned, and she would talk about Michael's surgery, and I'm just, you know, I'd be like, you know, I told you last week I was a worrier. Well, I'm not always that way when it's other people. But I was telling her, I said, Meredith, you know, they do these surgeries all the time. The statistics are just, you know, it's more dangerous to get out on the highway than it is to have a heart surgery. And I'm saying this kind of stuff really just trying to encourage her and being a realist. The stats don't lie. The statistics say that they've gotten good at this stuff. They know what they're doing. Now, anything can happen. I was telling Brother Charlie, Brother Charlie was talking about it because he had open heart surgery. And I was saying these things to Meredith leading up to it. But the Wednesday night before Michael's surgery, I went to him and I talked to him after church. And then I could tell he was thinking about it. And we went home, and Meredith and I were laying in bed, and we were talking about it. And I said, you know, I couldn't imagine going to bed tonight knowing that when I wake up tomorrow morning, they're going to put me to sleep. They're going to cut me from neck to belly button, I guess. I don't know. opened me up, take my heart, and began to work on it. I thought, man, I might be calling the doctor saying, hey, doc, I thought about it. I think I'm going to hold off on the surgery a little while, right? But I was thinking about the emotional agony. I know Ellie's had some surgeries. I look back here at Marcus and Kirsten. I can only imagine as that doctor rolls that baby behind those doors. And some of you have done things that I know nothing about. Brother Eddie, I know Sister Mary fought cancer years ago. And so many times, I'm sure, when you get that call or you're having that treatment or whatever it is, sometimes just the emotional agony of what you know is ahead, what you know you're about to face, sometimes that's worse than the physical. And can I tell you, Jesus was carrying this burden. The Bible says he was in agony. He said, God, if you be willing, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. I mean, it was on him. He realized what he was getting ready to go through. The man Jesus, I want to say that, the man Christ Jesus, 100% man. I cannot wrap my mind around that, but I know that it's so. He felt our pain. He knows how we feel when you're going into that doctor's office and you're in emotional agony, or when you're burying that loved one. The Lord Jesus knows how you feel. And so, number one, the emotional agony, but not only emotional agony, the physical agony. And we know the physical agony. I'm speaking to a group of people tonight. As I said, you know what Jesus went through. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But listen, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, sometimes we just have to ponder, and we have to reflect, and we have to think about what Jesus did for us. Not just the emotional agony, knowing that he was going to the cross. I didn't even say about the betrayal of Judas and all that was involved in the emotion. As he hung on the cross and he looked down and he saw his mother and he said, behold thy mother, behold thy son. He was looking at his mother, who obviously was hurting. He was looking at John, who obviously was hurting. They didn't understand. They didn't see the big picture. All the emotional agony, but on top of that, the physical agony, the beating, the whipping, the scourging, the mocking, the crown of thorns, the cat of nine tails, the spear in the side, the cross that he hung upon, all that he went through, the beard that was plucked from his face, the beatings that he took, all that physical agony, Jesus took all that for us. And if we're not careful, we've heard it so many times. Some of us have been in church so long and we've heard so many times about how that Jesus died for us and how that Jesus was beaten for us and how Jesus done all these things for us. But we really, this season, as we celebrate Christ's coming, let's not forget what he came for. Let's not forget what he did and how he suffered a physical agony for us. His body was broken. As we take the table tonight, that's what Jesus said. He said, this is my body, which was broken for you. Jesus said, I was beaten, I was broken, I was punished for you. My blood was shed for you. And we need to ponder that. We need to think about that. We need to reflect upon that. And so we see the agony, the emotional agony. I don't think there's words to explain the physical agony. The Bible says that his visage was so marred that man couldn't even make out. He didn't even look like a human. I wish I would have gotten with you, Brother Allen, with the crown of thorns. Brother Allen's used it in Sunday school before. These thorns that would, when they're green, if you tie them together, they'll dry out. I mean, when we think of a crown of thorns, I think sometimes we picture a briar bush. And they can hurt you. If you ever got hung up in one of those thorns, I mean, You know? Can't get them off of you, right? Like, where are these things coming from? Don't move. Don't breathe, right? That's not what they had wrapped around Jesus' head. No, these thorns were massive thorns that were driven into the skull of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about his agony, we have to understand not only the emotional agony, but the physical agony that Jesus endured for us. I think it's Hebrews chapter 12 says that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. You see, Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. I'm sorry, I left that part out. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And so we think about the cross, we think about the emotional agony, we think about the physical agony. And then last, I think this may be the worst of all, the spiritual agony. Do you ever just ponder the spiritual agony in which the Lord Jesus took at Calvary? Say, what do you mean by that, Brother David? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He who knew no sin became sin for us. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." So when we think about the agony of Jesus, yes, we think about the emotional agony of knowing what he was getting ready to get into, and the physical agony, the beating that he took, and the cat of nine tails, and the thorns, and all that went into the cross. But do we ever think about the spiritual agony? That load that Jesus carried, that caused him. Do you know when I believe this with all my heart, if I'm wrong, Pastor, correct me. I mean that. Not above being corrected. But when Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't think it was because of the beating he was taking. It was because of the sin that had been put on his shoulders. Jesus was bearing the sin of mankind. And God, who is holy, God the Father, who couldn't look on sin, literally looked away from his Son. The only time in all of eternity where God the Father and God the Son were separated was on the cross. God turned out the lights in the whole world while he dealt with his Son. Why he dealt with his Son? Because he was bearing the sin of mankind. You know that guilt that you feel when you sin, when you let God down? Such a guilt, a shame. You say, "Brother David, I don't do that." Well, God bless you. I do. On a regular basis, I let him down. And oh, how the guilt, it just bothers me. Like Pastor said this morning, I don't want to let him down. I love that illustration he gave. Well, you think your father's your father's gonna hurt you? No, I'm afraid I'm gonna hurt my father. And I let him down. All that he's done for me, the beating that he took for me, the agony that he went through for me, and sometimes, if I'm honest, I let him down. And when I let him down, I feel so dirty, I feel so guilty, I feel so shameful. I just feel like, man, I just hate that load that sin puts upon us. And can I tell you, Jesus took it all upon him. All the sin, all the shame, all the guilt, everything that every man had ever done was put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's hard for us to even wrap our minds around it, but the Bible says it and I believe it. Jesus took the sins of mankind upon his own body on the tree. He who knew no sin became sin. He became sin for us. The spiritual agony that Jesus was carrying as he hung there on the cross. We've got to think about it. We've got to ponder it. We've got to reflect upon it. Because if we don't, we'll be apathetic about the cross. We'll lose our passion about the cross. We'll sing up to sing at Calvary, and we won't even think about what we're singing. At the cross where I first saw the light, it'll just be words on a page in a hymn book if we're not careful. You see, we got to ponder it. We got to think upon it. We got to reflect upon it. We got to do this in remembrance of Him. We're forgetful people. And I'm just trying to remind you tonight, ponder the cross. Ponder the cross. Think about what Jesus has done for us, the agony of the cross. And then last, the effects of the cross. I'm not going to spend much time here. I want to get into the Lord's table. But you ponder it. You think about it. How has the cross affected your life? Can I tell you, it's by the cross that we were redeemed. Amen. We have redemption through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. The penalty for sin, that the load of sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we were redeemed not by corruptible things as silver and gold, by tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what we were redeemed by at the cross of Calvary. You see, my redemption is based upon the cross. And when I think about the cross, not only do I think about the agony of the cross, but I've got to think about the effects of the cross. It redeemed me. It bought me back. From the slave market of sin, He redeemed us. Not only that, He reconciled us. We were at enmity with God, brethren. I know some of us, we think we're so good. We think that, you know, it's like we've always, that there's this lie in our world today that we're all God's children. That's a lie. We're all God's creation. But we're not God's children. Actually, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. That's what He said. And until we get born into the family of God, that's what we are. But because of the cross, because of Calvary, because of His agony, we've been reconciled. You see, Jesus put one hand on God the Father, and He put one hand on fallen man, and He reconciled us at the cross. At the cross. God reconciled, Jesus reconciled man to God. Amen. What a blessing. Think about it. Not only is there redemption as an effect of the cross and reconciliation as an effect of the cross, but can I tell you, a relationship is the effect of the cross. You know that's how we got a relationship with God. Man, if I had time tonight, I'm not going to do it, but I could give you all kinds of scripture. I don't think I need to. I'm on Sunday night. I'm preaching to some people that know the Bible. You understand that we were redeemed by the cross. You understand that it was by the cross that we were reconciled to God, we that were at enmity with God, we that were in opposition to God, were reconciled to God by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, we also have a relationship by the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The veil was rent, the Bible says, from top to bottom. You know what happened? I think you know, but let me just remind you. Up until that point, you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Man didn't have access to God. No, once a year, the high priest would go on the day of the Passover. I mean, the high priest would go in and he would put the blood on the altar to see if it had been accepted or not. And he could go in one time a year. On the high day of atonement, my mind went blank there for a minute. The high priest could go in and put the blood on the altar. And literally, it's interesting, pastors preached it before, the bales that he would wear, and they would tie something to his ankle, I believe it was. And they didn't even want to go in after him if God didn't accept the offering. They're going to pull him out. They didn't have access to God. But when Jesus died on the cross, the effect was we got a relationship with God the Father. No more do we have to come through a priest. No more do we have to come through the Pope. No more do we have to come through, we never did have to come through the Pope, but let me just go ahead and clarify. We never came through the Pope, okay? But let me tell you this. No more do we have to go through a high priest. No, we have access to the throne of God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because we had a high priest that went in and he paid the payment for our sin and he died in our place and he took our punishment and he made a way for us to be reconciled and to have a relationship with God the Father. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. See, if it wasn't for the cross, last week when I got concerned, I stood up here on Wednesday night and gave a word of testimony, I wouldn't have had access to go before the throne of God. But because of the cross, because of what Jesus has done, I have access to the throne room of God, and so do you. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. That's such a blessing. I thought about you, Mariah, you and Adam last night when Isla broke out with hives and Meredith told me that she began to vomit, I think. I know you, some of you have got children. The fear that begins to set in your heart. And I immediately thought, man, aren't you glad you got access? I can go to the throne. I can go to the Father through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating here tonight. So when we take this cup tonight, don't you forget, this cup that we're taking, oh, it's not the blood of Jesus. It's just juice. But can I tell you what it is? It's a picture of the blood of Christ. It is the reason why we have access to the throne of God. We have a relationship with God the Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We're the sons of God. We have a relationship with the Father by the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, brethren, where would we be? We can't forget about the effects of the cross, the redemption, the reconciliation, the relationship. Can I tell you the reward? Go to Revelation, and this is where I'm going to close. Revelation chapter number 1. I'm not going to close Revelation 1. I want to read something here, and I'm going to go to Revelation 5, and we'll close. I love this passage. This pastor quotes it often. Verse 5 says this, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins, washed us from our sins in his own blood." That happened at the cross, brethren. He washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made us kings and priests. There's a reward. The cross, the effects of the cross. There's redemption, there's reconciliation, there's a relationship. But can I tell you, there's a reward. We're kings and priests. Go to Revelation 5, and this is where I'm going to close. I think the Bible says it so much better than I can. I just want to read this, and as I read it, I want you to do something. Pay attention on purpose. I said it at the beginning of my message. You know, if we're not careful, we get so apathetic. I'm talking about us, me. I know you because I'm one of you. And if we're not careful, we've just heard it all so many times that we don't even pay attention to it. I want you to pay attention. If you haven't paid attention to anything else I said, I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to read to you, because if this doesn't do something for you, you might ought to check up. Revelation chapter number 5 says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'God help me. God help me.'" You say, "What are you talking about, Brother David?" I'm reading to you the word of God. And I want God to anoint it with power. God help us to ponder, to think about what Jesus did for us at the cross. God help me. God help us. "And I saw an angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And look at it, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Listen to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Thank God there stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, and thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou, listen to it, thou was slain. You see what I'm talking about here? He's talking about the cross. He was slain at the cross. We're talking about pondering the cross. He said, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us. There it is. Hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us and made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And he says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And can I just stop right there and say, I'm so glad that I'm amongst that crowd. I'm so glad that I'm one of the thousands of thousands of 10,000s that one day is going to gather around the throne of God. And I'm going to say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that redeemed us and has made us kings and priests to reign with him. Thank God for the cross. Amen. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is under heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Thank God for the Lamb that was slain. Ponder his cross tonight. Ponder his cross as we get ready to take the Lord's table. Just think about what he's done for us. Don't think about the I'm just gonna say it, the cracker. It's what it is, I think, unless we've changed. Don't think about the bread. You think about that body that was broken for us. That blood that was shed for us. The agony, the effects of the cross. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. I don't want to be apathetic towards it. And I don't believe you do. God just sent me here tonight as a reminder. Let's ponder the cross. Heads bowed and eyes closed.